Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Samach Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2 if you're already partially familiar. You will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find the second line from the bottom of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Again, the Samach Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom where there is a new Mishnah. Ha'isha she'amra hiskabel li giti. A woman instructed an agent to receive on her behalf her get. And the agent told her that I, in fact, received it for you. You will see in the Mishnah that the get was eventually torn up. So we need to have evidence in the absence of an actual get that all of this took place. So Sricha Shtei Kitei Eidim, she needs two sets of witnesses. Shnayim She'omrim Befoneinu Omra. Two will testify that she instructed this agent to be an agent for receipt, a Shliach LeKabbalah. Ushnayim She'omrim, and two witnesses that will tell us Bifoneinu Kibel Vikora, in our presence he in fact received the get and tore it up. The reason for the tearing up will be discussed in the Gemara. But with this information, then we have testimony that she is in fact a now divorced lady. Afilu Hain Horishoinim Vehain Huachrinim. We mentioned two sets of witnesses. It doesn't mean that you have to have four people altogether, two and two. The same witnesses that can testify Bifoneinu Omra, if they happen to have also seen the agent receive the get and tear it up, they can say that, they can testify to that as well. The Gemara continues at the top of Samach Dalav Aleph. Boi echad min horishonim, ve'echad min ho'achronim, ve'echad mitzdaref imohem. You could have a situation where the woman asked in the presence of two witnesses, be my agent. Imagine then one of them is going to step forward and testify, along with Echad, what's mitzvah from him, someone else that also saw it. And likewise, Echad min achronim, if two people had seen the receipt of the get, one of them and a third party. Rashi says at the top, O echad min rishonim, ve'echad min achronim, ve'echad shlishi, shenase eid bezu ubezu, mitztaref imohem. So that you might have had, we'll call him the third party that was present during the agent's initial charge, when he was instructed to be an agent, and that same person was present when the get was received. So he can serve as a witness along with one of the other two that heard the charge of agency, and along with one of the other two that had seen the receipt of the get and its subsequent tearing. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a Mivneh note, that's a structural note. There is Roman numerals 1 and 2 that you will see in the Gemara. Baal v'shalish v'isha. Baal, the husband, shalish is a third party and a woman. Me'idim al get biyad ha'shalish will testify regarding the presence of the get in the hands of the shalish, of this, we'll say, third party or entrusted party. The topic heading that we have, no say, Baal Hamakhish Sholish Beget Shenimtza Biyado Shel HaSholish. We're going to see in the Gemara a contradiction or a challenge between the husband and the shalish regarding get that's currently in the hands of the shalish. Im l'shem pikado nosim biyadoi oi nitan lo kishliach lekabola umugureshes. The get in his hands, is it that he was requested to simply watch it, or was he instructed by the woman to be a shliach lekabola? And if that be the case, the woman would be divorced. The Gemara. Itmar baal oimer lepikodon. The husband says, I gave it to the shalish, the entrusted party, as an pikodon, an item to be watched. V'sholish omer, the entrusted party says, legerushin, I was appointed to be a shliach lekabola, an agent for receipt, and therefore she is divorced. Me Nemon, who is to be believed? Ravuna Omar Baal Nemon, the husband is believed. Rav Chisda Omar Sholish Nemon. Ravuna Omar Baal Nemon, the opinion of Ravuna is that the husband is believed. Im Iso de Legerushin Yave Niale, if it were so that it were given to him for divorce purposes, L'dido have a yohi of law nihala. The husband would have given it directly to the woman. And Rashi points out that we're talking about a case where the woman and the man, the husband, are together in town. So that it's not an issue here of giving it to him because the wife is somewhere else at a distance and the husband can't get to her. But no, they're in town. And therefore, the husband argues, if I was interested in giving it for divorce purposes, I would have given it directly to her. V'rav chista omar sholish ne'mon doho hemne. The sholish is believed because the husband granted him trustworthiness, believability, when he, the husband, gave the get to the shalish. Even on the husband's own terms, he's saying, I gave it to him to watch, but the husband is acknowledging that this fellow is a trustworthy individual. As you can see, we have a new geometric shape on the side under the Mivneh heading. The house shape appears in opposite directions. These are Mekoros L'Shnei Kivunim. The Gemara will introduce sources in both directions, as we saw Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Mosiv Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba raises a question on, of course, one of the opinions. The source says, Hoidlas Baldin Kemea Edim Domi. A person who is being charged in court, when he admits, his testimony is like 100 witnesses. He's very reliable. V'sholish ne'mon mishnehem. And the sholish is even more believed than the Baalei Din. Ketzad, ze omer kach, v'ze omer kach, sholish ne'mon. If there's a challenge between the sholish and he was opposing him, so the sholish is believed. What therefore do we see? We see, like Rav Chisda said, and hence Rabbi Abba is raising a question against Rav Huna. The Gemara says, "Shiny momon, cases of monetary concern, financial matters are different. Disyoyev lemechila. It's literally, it's given over to mechila, to foregoing, forgiving. One can forgive a loan, one can forgive a debt, and therefore, when it comes to dine momonis, the standard is different than that which we apply to issues of isur, of a ritual prohibition, as is the case in divorce. The Gemara asks, but v'ha tanya v'chein legitin. We have another source that says, likewise with regard to gitin, so that the idea of the sholish believability isn't limited to financial matters. The Gemara says, no, this source that we just quoted is Gitei Momon. Gitei Momon means documents that are of a financial nature. v'hotanya v'chein l'shtaros, but do we not have another brisa that says, and likewise with regard to shtaros, documents? So since you have another brisa that says documents, gittin is going to be a reference to divorce documents that are not financially related. The Gemara says that's not conclusive, because midi gabi hadodi tanya. These two last sources that we have in frames, the v'chein l'gittin and v'chein l'shtaros, they are not taught together in the same Tanaic source. Had they been taught together, so then I would have to conclude that shtaros is something that's to the exclusion of gittin. But since they are taught in separate sources, I can explain that the word v'chein l'gittin is a reference to financial documents. Tanan. Let me just repeat that last point. And that being the case, then all we can conclude is that the Shulish has believability in matters that are financial. Not necessarily in the case of the Shulish arguing with the husband on a matter of divorce. Tanan. And here the house appears in an inverted fashion, so that whereas before we were asking a question on Rav Huna, here we'll have a question on Rav Chista. Tanan. Ha'isha she'amra, this by the way is a quote from our Mishnah, Ha'isha she'amra hiskabe ligiti, tzricho shtei kitei edim, a woman who had instructed an agent to receive on her behalf a get, she needs two sets of witnesses. Shnayim she'amru b'foneinu omra, u'shnayim she'amru b'foneinu kiba v'kora. The Gemara asks, why do we have to have the woman bringing forth witnesses? V'amai lehemne l'sholish. Why don't we simply believe the sholish? You said, if Rav Chista is correct that the sholish is believed, we simply ask him, were you charged with agency for receiving a get? The Gemara says, in this particular case, it's not going to be of any benefit to ask the Shulish, mi konofik gita mituse yode dilehemne, is a get coming forth from his possession? Is he producing a get? No, the get's been torn up. That which we've said that the Shulish is believed is because he is holding on to a get, and he can tell us that he was charged with being an agent for receipt. But in the absence of the get, we need to have the witnesses. Rashi on this cross from a few lines up says, Miko nofik gita mituse yode. Befonenu, is he showing us the get, lahar oisalana, to show us the nehemne, that we should believe him? Hakoroi, it's been torn up. V'afalpi shakroim biyado b'foneinu ein sholish, elkein hasholishes biyado. Even though the torn up pieces of the get might still be in his hands, that doesn't improve or grant the sholish believability. We say the sholish is believed only when the matter concerning which he was charged is still present. The migu di boy have ovid bay my de komar nemonami a amiroso. Since the shulish, if the item that he was charged with is extant, he could have done what he claims he was going to do. Therefore, when he says what he is, he's believed. We'll read that line again. Demigu di boy have ovid bay my dukomar nemon nami alami rosso avozesh koroi ein biyado lemosro biyado. But now that the get has been torn up, it's not in his power to give it to the woman. But if the get was around, we would believe the shalish when he says, "I received the get as a shliach lekabola," and she's therefore divorced because he could have given the get to the woman, and the woman would have been in possession of the get, and clearly showing us that she is divorced. We turn back to the Gemara. Tenach Omra. I understand when in the Mishnah we need to have witnesses that she charged the agent as being an ishliach likabola. However, kibel lomali, why does she need to bring witnesses to testify that he, the agent, received the get? Rashi across from here says, Tainach Omra, kibel lomali lasi edim shira'u mekabloi miyad habal. Why does she need witnesses to testify that they saw him, the agent, receive it from the husband? Harehu biyodo b'fonenu v'hovadei kablei. He's holding it, and that's a sure sign that he had received it. The Gemara answers why it's important to have witnesses to describe or to testify that the husband gave it to the agent. Omar Rava ha money. This Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Rebbe Lozer he. The Omar Ede Mesira Karsi. According to Rebbe Lozer, the need for testimony for witnesses are those witnesses that see the handing over of the get. And without testimony that says we saw the husband give the get to the, in this case, the agent, there would be no divorce. The Gemara asks, Kara Lomali, why is there any need for tearing up the get? The Mishnah mentioned that we need witnesses that saw the receipt of the get, and it's tearing up. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, Bishas, Hagzeiros Shana. This Mishnah is a Mishnah that was taught at the time of religious persecutions, where the Gentile powers that were prohibited people from keeping mitzvahs. Included in mitzvahs is the divorce procedure, which involves a properly written get given to the either the woman or the, in this case, the agent that was appointed to be an agent, a shliach lekabola. So as to save their lives, they had to eliminate any evidence of their observing mitzvahs. So that explains why the get was torn up, because it was shas hagzera. On the side, we have a mivneh, structural note, where a diamond appears. Mikrim lefi rabo sherevhuna yodeh demishu nemon neged habal. We have cases here where Rav Huna will concede that there are those that are believed against the husband. Rav Huna above was the opinion that said that the husband is believed against the Sholish. Here there are cases that someone else will be believed over the husband. Omar Rabba, Umoide Rav Huna, Dei Omra Ihi. Rav Huna will concede that if the wife said, if the woman said, Ladidi, Omar li shalish de ligerushin yaveni ale mehemna. That the shalish himself reported to me, says the woman, that it was given unto him for gerushin purposes, and not as an entrusted item. So regarding that, she would be believed. And Rav Huna will admit that if the woman says this, she's believed. And, of course, that's counter to the husband, who's claiming that it was given to the Shalish for pikadon, watching purposes. The Gemara asks on that, Mi iko midi v'shalish gufei lo mehemon v'ihi mehemna? Again, through the mindset of Rav Huna, could there be something where the Sholish himself would not be believed, but she would be believed? Elo I Omra, rather, if she said, Kamoi didi legerishin yahaveni hale, and in front of me the get was given unto the agent for divorce purposes, mehemna, she's believed. Migu di bai Omra, since she could have said, Ladidi Yahave Nihale Baal, that the get was given unto me. And if she says I was divorced, so she would be believed. And now you can see we have Roman numeral number 2, another case involving the Baal, the Sholish, and we'll see the woman. Baal Omar Legerushin, the Sholish Omar Legerushin, the He Omeris Nosan Li V'Ovad. Here you don't have a clash between the husband and the Sholish. The husband is saying, I gave it to the Sholish in order to give it, the get, to my wife. The Sholish says, I received the get for divorce purposes. Vehi omeris, and the woman, the wife, is saying, Nosan li v'ovad, he gave it to me, but it got lost. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Havidover sheb'erva, we're dealing here with matters of erva. Erva is the general realm of forbidden relations. In this case, we're referring to a woman that had the status of being a married woman. In order for her status to be accepted as changed, v'ein dover sheb'erva pochus mishnayim, you cannot establish a change in marital status with less than two witnesses. In other words, you would have to have witnesses to testify to verify that which we just said, that the husband had given the get to the Sholish for divorce purposes, and he had given it to the woman as she claims. The Gemara asks a series of questions. You see, we have a double underline on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei/Mivneh heading. Birur lomo kishehazug v'asholish moidim shenitan aget v'ovad. We have to clarify here, why is it that when the couple and the sholish all agree that the get was given, it got lost and got lost, why do we need two witnesses and we don't believe one of them, though? The husband, the wife, the Sholish. Now, the Gemara. For Lehem ne le Sholish, why not just believe the Sholish? He said, I received the get for Gerishin purposes. So the Gemara says, Mi konofik gita mituse yode de lehemne? Is the get appearing in his possession right now, which would have been grounds for believing him? We explained this earlier, that when the Sholish is in possession of the get, so what he says we would believe, because he has the power to do what he is saying. But the get isn't in his possession right now. V'lehemne lebal, why not believe the husband? Di omar of chiyo barov in omar of yochanan baal shomar gerashtias ishinemon. Rabchia says that a husband who says, I divorced my wife, a husband is believed to say that. The Gemara says, that would be very good, but that's not what he said over here. Mi ka'omar gerashti, did the husband say that? All the husband said is that I gave it to the Sholish to be an agent of conveyance of the get. V'lema, why not say the following? Once the husband says, I gave it to the shliach, the agent for conveyance, why not believe that the agency was carried out? Chazaka shliach osa shlichusa. We have a rule that you can assume that agents carry out their mission, their agency. D'yomer Rabbi Yitzchok, here is an example of that, how this chazaka is manifest. A man says to an agent, I want you to go and marry a woman on my behalf. In other words, give her some money, give her the money, and give her the money in exchange for her acceptance to marry me. The woman, which woman, is not specified. All that the man said is, go find a wife for me and give her the money and have her and marry her for me. umes shlucho, and then the agent died. So the man, a man gave the agent money, agent walked out of the house, and all we know is that the agent died. What do we say about the man who sent him? Asur b'chol hanoshim shebo'olam. The man that sent the agent is now forbidden to marry all the women of the world. Why? Chazoka shliach oisa shlichuso. There is an understanding, there is a given that agents carried out their agency. So when this, as soon as this agent walked out of the house, he might very well have married a woman on his behalf. So the husband, the man, vis-a-vis all other women, any given woman out there might be the sister of the one the agent had arranged for her marriage. Any other woman might be the mother of that woman, making all women of the world potential relatives, forbidden relatives of the one that was actually married on the mishaleach, this man's behalf. All of that is a function of our assuming that the shliach, before he died, had carried out his agency. So why still do we need two witnesses to testify about the divorce when we could, going on the husband's word that said he appointed an agent, the agent went ahead and did what he was asked to do? The Gemara says, Hani mili l'chumra. The idea of chazoka shliach oisa shlichusa, that's when the result is one of stringency, just like we had in Rabbi Yitzchok's halacha, that the man is thereby prohibited in marrying any other woman. Avolukula lo, but when the result is a leniency, like our discussion, namely the woman is now divorced. Divorce means that she went from a status of being married and prohibited to now being a woman free to marry someone else. That's a leniency. So we don't apply the concept of chazoka oisa shlichusa when it comes to a kula, a leniency. But still, v'lehemne ledida mi derav hamnuna. Why not believe the woman herself based on Rav Hamnuna? The woman here is claiming that she received the get, and hence I am divorced. What does Rav Hamnuna say? Diyomar Rav Hamnuna, ha'isha shomer lebaylo girashtani ne'emenes. A woman who says to her husband, "You divorced me," she's believed. Chazoka ein ha'isha me'iza panel b'fnei baylo. There's a chazoka, a given status of women, that they would not be so bold as to lie to their husband's face when making a claim like that, that you divorced me. So the Gemara says, Hani mili, when do we apply that rule? Hechod deleko dekumisayala. That's when there is no one claiming like she is claiming. Literally, there's no one helping her out in her claim. Aval hechod de messiah law, the izo misa, where there are others claiming along with the woman that she was divorced, she would be mayiz. She would lie. She would claim she's divorced, and she's when maybe in fact she was not divorced. What makes her do that, or what motivates her to do that? The fact that others are claiming what she is saying as well, and that's what we have over here. The husband is saying that she's divorced, the shliach is saying she's divorced, and she's saying she's divorced, so we don't have the luxury of relying on Rav Hamnuna's rule. Therefore, as we saw before, Rabbi Yochanan says you have a dover sheb'erva, and as such you need to have two witnesses that could confirm that she was divorced. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei topic heading. Machloikis Tanoim I Naro Hamurasu Yechelu Lekabel Es Gita. We'll see a Tanaic disagreement regarding a Naro. Naro is a woman, a girl between ages of 12 and 12 and a half, who is Murasa. Murasa means her she entered the first stage of marriage, which is we call Erusin. It's the stage where she received some money or money value in exchange for her agreeing to enter marriage with someone. The consummation of the marriage is called Nisuin. That's when they go, the couple goes under the marriage canopy and then consummates their marriage. The Mishnah. Nara hamurasa, hivi avia mekablin mezgita. A Nara hamurasa that we just described, she could receive her get. Her father could receive her get. Omar Vihuda, Ein shtei yodayim zochos kachas. You can't have a situation where two people could simultaneously, during the same time period, receive her get. Elofia mekabel is gita bovad. When you're dealing with a na'am rasa, only her father can receive the get. The chol sheni yichol lishmor is gita, eino yichol is garish. And another rule regarding divorce is that any girl, woman who's incapable of lishmor skit, of watching her get, is not of sound mind, is not of age to be divorced. Bemai komifli, what is the underlying basis of this disagreement? Rabbonon Savri, Yoda Yiserta Zochi La Rachmona. The Rabbonon hold that with regard to the Na'am Rasa, the Torah accounts for an extra hand of receipt, that not only the father can receive, but she can receive as well. Rav Yehuda Savar B'Moka Movia, when the father is present and has the ability to receive the get, Ya Dila Lav Klumhi, her receipt powers are of no consequence, are nothing. Rashi at the first narrow line says Yadi Dolav Klumhi Dilagamri Ukma Rachmona Bishusei Kol Yemei Naras Elim Kenises. As far as the Nara Hamrasa status is concerned, that she is completely in her father's domain all through the Nara period, Nara's period, which is from 12 to 12 and a half. Unless she had Nises, means she had consummated her marriage, that would remove her from her father's domain. We turn back to the Gemara, and before we continue with the text, we glance at the side where we see a nosei klali, means a general topic heading. Gila'im. Gila'im means ages. Lefi hisnagus. When we speak about age, we're not necessarily talking about an actual calendar age, but rather age dependent on behavior, maturity. So gila'im, lefi hisnagus, shonim, shoktanim, different ages of minors. Vanafgamina shetzimehem, legabi gitin, legabi kinyonim, the practical halachic ramifications of these various ages will manifest itself with regard to divorce possibilities and kinyonim, clinching deals, establishing transactions. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ktana Hayoidas Lishmor Esgita Mizgareshes, a girl who is a minor, who is capable of watching her get, she receives it, she doesn't toss it away immediately, so she's capable of watching it, so she is capable of being divorced. V'sheino yadas lishmor zgita eino misgareshes, if she's hasn't achieved that level of understanding of maturity, so she cannot be divorced. Rashi says eino misgareshes dichtiv v'sholcha mibesoi. The pasuk itself says v'sholcha mibeso, and the man who divorces his wife shall send her away. Misha mishalcha v'eino chozeres. That describes a girl who is sent away and doesn't come back. Yotzezusha mishalcha v'chozeres. The exclusion of one who, when sent away, comes right back. So she's not subject to being divorced. Hachi yoshinu lo b'yavos perecherish nosa. Hilkoch afilu b'kabola saviha Eino Misgroshes. Rashi takes a position here, which is not in agreement with all Rishonim, that even if the father had received the get on her behalf, she would not be divorced, because she has to have reached a certain maturity, which thereby enables her to be divorced. Source continues, V'ezohi k'tana yadaz lishmur zgita. What is meant by a k'tana that's able to watch her get? Kol she mishameres gita v'dovar acher. This phrase is not clear, but we translated it, realizing that it will undergo some change. Anyone who watches the get, a girl who would watch her get, and something else. My komar, what does this mean? Amarab, Yoichanan Ochi komar. Kol, and you'll notice we have a diamond here. These are opinions. They're explained on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading. Deo Salmahu Mishamer Zgita V'Devaracher Shela Braisa Dainu Hagil Shechel Isgarish. Different opinions as to what that means. She watches her get and something else. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Hochi komar, we're back in the Gemara text. Kol shemishamers dover acher machmas gita. That means that if she lost her get, she would watch something else that's not similar to the get, thinking that it's her get. Maskif avhuna bar manoach or shoyte balmahi. What you just described is an imbecile. A girl that lost her get and keeps something else, thinking that it is her get when it's not. Elo Omar of Huna Bar Manoch Mishmei Derav Acha Brei Derav Ika Kol Shem Mavchenes Bein Gita L'Dover Acher. Any girl who's capable of distinguishing between her get and something else. Omar of Yehuda Omar of Asi Tzror V'Zorko Egoiz V'Noitloi. And here it goes through some more different, we'll say, age or maturity levels. A girl who is given a pebble and tosses it away, but a nut that, and she keeps it. In other words, we have the ability to distinguish between a something of no value, a rock, versus something of value, the nut. So if you have a minor that has reached that level, zeichel liatzmo v'ein zeichel achirim, he is capable of owning something, of receiving something, but he cannot receive things on behalf of others. Rashi, a couple lines up from here, zeichel liatzmo v'eino zeichel achirim, im zik adam l'chavero davar al yedei oisei katan. If someone approached the minor and said, take this on behalf of so-and-so, lo zocha, that so-and-so would not be said to have received it, have become the owner. And if the one who gave it to that so-and-so through the minor, the giver could back out. In other words, nothing was clinched. Chefetz, another example, Chefetz umachziro liachar shah. If a child is given something, and an hour goes by and say, would you give it back to me? And he's able to do that. He's able to give you back something that you had given him. Zoche bein latzmo bein lachem. So that represents a higher level of maturity. Someone that is capable of receiving things and receiving things on behalf of others. Rashi adds here, umidrabon, and this is rabbinic. It's not a Torah level acquisition, but it's a rabbinic recognized level of acquisition. Ki amriso kameh de Shmuel omar li, when I said this is a Rav Yehuda speaking. Rav Yehuda mentions that when I said that which Rav Asi taught, and I said it to Shmuel, he said, Omar li Ishmael said da v'da achasi. My da v'da achasi. What do you mean by this one and that one are one and the same? References to points Aleph and Beis that we just learned. What do you mean they're one and the same? And so as far as that's concerned, you can see we have a new marking on the side under the Mivne heading. We have a Makav. The triangle is used to keep track of the give and take. The with the point facing up, Deo Shikanim Dekan Einam Zoichim Lachirim, that the miners mentioned here are not capable of receiving on behalf of others. The inverted triangle represents Kushios Al Emdozu, challenges to that position. So we just asked, when Shmuel said both of these are one and the same, we had Aleph was Tzror V'zok Egez V'not Lo, and Beis was Chefetz U'machzir L'achar Shah. Rav Chisda says, Om Rav Chisda, Echad Zeh Ve'echad Zeh Zoyche Le'atzmo V'ein Zoyche L'achirim. In both cases, the child is capable of acquiring for himself, but not capable of acquiring on behalf of others. So that means even in the even the Beis halacha, the Beis level against Ravasi would not be able to receive on behalf of others. Mosiv Rav Chinuno Vardon, he raises a question on Rav Chisda's conclusion that the minor that we just mentioned was not capable of being Zeich L'Achirim. The source deals with establishing a sheet of Mvois. A sheet of Mvois is an attempt to unite the different members of courtyards that open onto a common alleyway. That is accomplished by the various residents of the courtyards contributing food or joining together in ownership of food, making them into a joint or singular entity. So in that context, the source says, Ketzad mishtatfin b'movui. How do we join together in a movui being the alleyway? And that, of course, will entitle the residents to carry from their courtyards into the alleyway on Shabbos and from the alleyway into the courtyards. How is this done? How is this joining together accomplished? Miniach es hachovis. A person can, we'll say, volunteer a barrel of wine. And he places it down, v'yomer, and he says, Harezu l'chol b'nei hamovui. I am donating this, I am giving this unto all of the residents of the alleyway, making them all joint owners in it. U'mezaka lehem ayidei b'no v'ito hagdolim. And the owner of the chovis of the barrel will present it to, he can present it to, of course, anyone in the alleyway on behalf of the other residents, but he can also present it to his own son or daughter, provided they are adult. And likewise to his manservant or maidservant that are Jewish. Hai shivcha hechi domi. The reference here to a bondmaid or a maidservant, a Jewish maidservant. What are we talking about? E da as yishtei Cyrus, if she has reached the a level of maturation where she's produced the two hairs, the two pubic hairs, my baya gabe, what's she doing by him as a maidservant? The halacha says that when a girl reaches maturity, she leaves that status. She leaves, she goes back home. She doesn't remain as a bondmaid that initially was sold by her father into servitude, into this work relationship, but rather she goes free. So she's the description of an owner of the chovas giving it to his bondmaid, she could not have reached that level. So she's a minor. She hasn't produced the two pubic hairs. And nevertheless, she's able to receive on behalf of others. The Gemara rejects this as a question. This is not a question. Shiny shitufe mevlois. derabbanan. The case of shituf mavos is different. It's merely rabbinic, and we're dealing with establishing an age where they can be mezake to others. We'll say on a higher level. On the side, we have a tshuva. The double underline represents the response of derabbanan. When it comes to rabbinic matters, so the minor can receive on behalf of others. What Rav Chisda made reference to was they cannot receive on behalf of others on a Torah level. But on a rabbinic level, einochinami, then yes. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section of Gemara. On the side, we have a starred note, Achrei Sograim, after the brackets, Rav Avya Maksha al Rav Chisda Me'inyan Pidyon Maiser Sheni. Rav Avya will raise a question on Rav Chisda from the topic of redeeming Maiser Sheni. B'socha Sograim, HaGemara Ma'alev shows Shehoyelo Rav Chanina Vardor Lanos V'litchois HaTshuva Shenem Alo. Within the brackets, the Gemara will raise suggestions for Rav Chanina to have responded that Rav Chanina Vardon could have responded and rejected this particular response. We go directly into the bracketed section. Omar of Chisda, Ishtik Vardon. Ishtik means he became silent, become muted, that he didn't respond to this to the response of Shaini Shitufim Vos Drabonan. If you're just noticing the flow of the Gemara, Rav Chanina Vardon had questioned Rav Chisda. The Gemara responded to his question, and Rav Chisda says, "Oh, he was silenced." But that reaction of Rav Chisda indicates he had something that he could have said, but didn't. So the Gemara asks, "My havi leila meimar? What could he have said?" Answer: Kol detikun rabbanan. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Samachei ke'ein doraisa tikun. When the Gemara pushed aside Rav Chanina Vardon's objection by saying, well, Shituf Mavos is not an indication of any real strength of the minor because Shituf Mavos is the Rabbanan, Rav Chanina could have said, yes, I understand it's the Rabbanan, but still, what the Rabbanan were mesaking, what the Rabbanan established, they did so as a reflection or modeled after the Torah, so that if the Rabbanan said that a minor could receive on behalf of others, that indicates that on a Torah level, the minor could receive on behalf of others. And that would have preserved Rav Chanina Vardon's objection, his initial objection to Rav Chisda. So now the question is, why did Rav Chanina Vardon not in fact say that? Ve'idach, this is then a reflection back onto Rav Chanina. He says, he would say, ki amrinon, when do we say, kol detikun rabbonon kein doraisa tikun? Bemilsa de'islei ikur minatorah. That's when you're dealing with topics that have a Torah base. Avol milsa de'les lo ikur min hatorah lo. But matters that don't have a root or a source in the Torah, there are areas of halacha like shituf mavos, which is purely rabbinic. In such a case, the rabbanan might establish something, but it's not being established as a reflection of something on a Torah level. Mosiv Rav Avya. Rav Avya raises a question. Again, the inverted triangle indicates that we're asking a question on Rav Chisda, which means that we're going to try to show that a minor, and we're going to refer again to the case of the Shivcha, has this power of Mizakel Acherim, of receiving on behalf of others. The source deals with the redemption of Meiser Sheni produce. Just a brief word, Meiser Sheni producers, produce that develops, grows in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle. It's expected that one brings Meiser Sheni produce to Yerushalayim and eats it there. The owner brings his 10% of his produce and eats it in Yerushalayim. In the event that he can't bring the actual produce, might be too voluminous, so he has, based on the Torah, the option of redeeming his produce onto cash and bringing the cash to Jerusalem and buying food there. When the owner himself redeems, he has to add a chomesh, a fifth, so that if the produce is worth, let's say, $100, he'll have to have set cash aside $125, the 25 being one-fifth of 125. If someone else, however, comes along and redeems your produce, it's redeemed at market value and without the addition of the fifth. Rashi on the top says, Ma'arimin. There's a way of, we'll say it's a subterfuge, a way of circumventing the need for adding a fifth. Ma'arimin l'vdoisei b'loi chaymish is a way to redeem without adding a fifth. She'odam moisiv chaymish k'shepoides maiser sheni shelo. The rule is that when one redeems his own maiser sheni, the 10% of his produce that is deemed to be brought to Yerushalayim, when he redeems it himself, he adds a fifth. V'eino moisiv chaymish al shel achirim im koneu mechavero. However, he doesn't add a fifth when he is redeeming the produce of others. Now the Gemara. Mosiv Rav Avya. Take note, by the way, that we have a long question. Ma'arimin al Meiser Sheni. We can practice this circumvention. The word ma'arimin often it would be translated as a trick. In this case, it represents it's a legal reality, it's a circumvention of needing to add a fifth. Ketzad, how is that done? Omer Adam Livno Uvito Hagdolim. A man says to his adult children, or La'avdo V'shivchosu Ivrim, or to his manservant or bondmaid that are Jewish, Ha lochem mois halalu. Here, take this money, ufdu bohen meiser sheni zeh, and redeem this meiser sheni. So here you have the shivcha, amongst others, as we'll say, receiving something on behalf of someone else. Hai shivcha hechidomi. What is the status of the shivcha? E da'asya shtei Cyrus, if she's brought forth the two pubic hairs, my bayagame, what's she doing by this man as a bondmaid? She would not be a shivcha anymore. Elo lav de lo asya shtei Cyrus. Rather, she hasn't produced the two Cyrus. The Rashi, I would like to look at another Rashi on the where we left off. Ufdu bohen meiser sheni mimenu. Dehavu luhu achirim legabe. Vis-a-vis the person who is redeeming the Meiser Sheni, it's that which is belongs to others. Vehem soimchen al sholchenu, and they're relying on our agency for redemption. Vishalem shelo shehem choizrin v'nosim lo. This is, as far as the Gemara is concerned, is parallel to the issue, to the case of being zeche l'achirim, acquiring on behalf of others. So what do we see from here? The shivcha, who acquires the money in order to redeem someone else's meiser sheni, and then they will take that money and give it back to the original party, once the Maaser Sheni is redeemed, of course, the sanctity, the Kedusha of the Maaser Sheni is now on, that used to be on the fruits, is now in the money. But what we see from here, as we said, that a Shifcha, the Ketana, the minor is capable of being Zecha Cherman here. It doesn't appear that you're dealing with a rabbinic realm. The Gemara says that's not true. Hacha b'may askina b'maaser sheni b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan. We're dealing with maaser sheni of nowadays, after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and the Jews went into exile. So the practice of maaser b'zman hazeh nowadays is rabbinic. The Gemara asks, "Ve'amo evriya b'zman hazeh miika?" If you're saying that this source is a reference to something that's rabbinic, do you have amo evriya nowadays? V'hotanya ain evid evri noyeg elo b'zman shayovil noyeg. The laws of Jewish manservants and bondmaids is applicable only during that time. The era during which Yovel, the laws of the Jubilee year, are practiced. So to make reference to Maaser Sheni Bizman Hazeh, and at the same time make reference to a Shifcha, would be impossible, because Bizman Hazeh, we don't have Yovel, and hence we wouldn't have a Shifcha. So if reference is made to someone giving money to a shifcha to redeem, you must be talking about maisers that are doraisa. And you see that the shifcha can be, the minor can receive on behalf of others. So the Gemara says, I have an alternative answer though. Ela ba'otzitz she'enoi nokuv derabanan. The reference to maiser sheni in the source where we saw the minor being able to redeem on behalf of someone else, it's because we're dealing with produce that grew in an unholed flower pot. That's an otzitz, is a flower pot, that has no hole on the bottom. The need to tithe produce from that type of growth situation is in fact merely rabbinic. Omar Rava, Gimel Midos Bekotan. There are three levels, distinct levels, with regard to a minor and his ability to acquire. Tsror v'zorko egos v'notlo, if he has that level of understanding that a pebble he would throw away, but a nut he wouldn't throw away. He's reached an age whereby he can acquire for himself, but he cannot acquire on behalf of others. Ukenegdon b'ktano v'skadeshes l'miyun. And the parallel case when it comes to a female minor and, say, marriage-related halachas, we would tell you that a girl who is that of that age is miskadeshes lemiyun. That means that if her mother or her brother married her off, which is not a Torah-level marriage, only a father has the power to create a complete marriage on a doraisa level. But there is a rabbinic strength to marry off one's minor sister or one's minor daughter on part of the mother. What happens then is that she can't leave the man that they married her to other than through miyun. Miyun is whereby she expresses, the girl expresses, I do not want to continue living with him. Hapu'utois Mekhon mekach umemkorin memkar b'metaltalin. Rashi lemiun shitzri. Hapeutos tzan behanizokin. Later in this parak, earlier in this parak, the mekhon mekach b'metaltalin uparshino kibar shis kibar tamni. And we explain that when we refer to the term peutos, you're referring to children 6 years old, 8 years old. So those kind of, that level of maturation that we describe as pu'utos, their deals are deals if they transact things, and their sales are sales when you're dealing with portables, not land-related transactions. Ukenegdon b'ktana miskareshes b'kidushay aviha. And the parallel in the case of marriage and divorce with regard to minors, we say that she could be divorced even though her father had married her off. The marriage that a father concludes with regard to his minor daughter is a Torah level of full-fledged marriage. If she's reached this age that we call Oinas HaPe'utos, the age of Pe'utos, the husband of that girl that was married off by her father could effectively divorce her. Higiu l'oinas nedorim. Once children reach the age of nedorim, that means they understand that a vow can be made, and the vow is a vow, one vows, let's say, in the name of Hashem, in the name of the Almighty, to do this and thus and thus, or not to do something else. Here we're not being very precise in our explanation, but we're trying just to describe the awareness of a child of what a neder, what a vow is, and its binding powers as according to the Almighty's will. So if one reaches that age, we call Oinas Nedarim, the time of vows, Nidreim Neder Vekdeshon Hekdesh, their vows are binding, and that which they sanctify to the base of Hekdesh is considered sanctified, it takes hold. Uknegdon B'tana, and the parallel in the case of a minor girl, Chaletzes, she can participate and she can do the chalitza ceremony, which involves the removal of a shoe from the surviving her. She's a widow, her husband died, and she removes the shoe from her husband's surviving brother, thereby freeing her to marry someone else. Rashi says chaletzes im hivia simonim, if she brought forth the necessary pubic hairs. Velo aminon shumaninu, and we would not say that those are simply wart hairs. Aval kodem hazman hazek tanahi v'ein simano simonim. Earlier than this time of oinas nedarim, she's considered a minor, and a minor there you can have a case of young girls that have hairs, pubic hairs growing. Those do not constitute a simon. V'ein cholatzis, she would be too young to participate in the chalitza ceremony. The ish kosuv v'parsha, the word ish means an adult man, is written in that particular section of the Torah. U'makshinu nisha l'ish, and we compare women, females, to males, so that a girl that's a minor, if she hasn't reached oinas nedarim, she cannot participate. She cannot conclude a chalitza ceremony. The Gemara adds, this age of Higil Anis Nedarim, we say Velimkar Benichse Aviv. I'm sorry, let me correct myself. Velimkar Benichse Aviv, as far as selling properties, real estate of that one inherited from his father, then we say Ad Shei Ben Esrim. There he needs to be 20 years of age in order for his land transactions that he inherited from his father to be binding. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.